This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. It is hour number three, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
The power hour!
And when we do that, we bring in our power guests. And right now on the Goodyear Hotline, we are joined by Tim Legler, our ESPN NBA analyst.
Power Legler!
Legs, how we doing, man? Oh, we don't have legs yet? I thought we did. Okay.
The power hour!
Without Tim Legler.
Featuring Legler! legs sound like, dude,
the communication today has been just spectacular.
You got Nextel.
But yes, we really do.
Hey, with a name like Legs, it sounds like if he was like in a karate movie,
great shooter.
He'd be somebody that, that's what I'm saying, it was all legs, you know what I mean, the follow through. He was like, he won the three-point contest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had like the highest three-point percentage,
yes,
right?
That's correct.
So, like, he was like the trailblazer.
And he played in the 90s, which means if he played today.
That's what I'm saying. He was a trailblazer.
I want to ask
he would probably put up money.
Never mind how many threes he'd made. How much money could he have made in today's game?
I know you're looking at J.J. Redick.
I talk to Zerbiak about it all the time, and he's always like, man. Because he only took like two or three threes a game, and Wally was a great shooter.
And he might be able to play for probably another 10 years, because all you got to do is get in the corner and just put up the J.
All right, he's here with us now, so let's begin with that quick question.
I wonder if he ever played with
Prince. Legs, how we doing?
What's happening? I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
Good. So Bart was wondering, like, because we know obviously your stats in the era you played, you know, it wasn't a big 3-point shooting era, even though there were some teams that did and some players that certainly could knock down the three. But when you watch today, do you think to yourself, man, the money I would have made in this game today? I mean, the Knicks are shooting what, 49 threes a game?
Yeah, you listen, I've been out of the league 20 years, and I can honestly tell you, I think about that every single night.
Why not?
Every single night. Because, you know, it's not even just like the volume of threes, which that's obvious. You know, it's the mentality behind, even for a guy like myself, who when I played, I genuinely felt like I had what, by then those standards, the green light. It's just what you process was a good shot. It was totally different. You know, fanning out to the three-point line when you had numbers on the break was just not something you ever would contemplate when I played. So the mentality around what's a good shot, what isn't, and the freedom around that, whereas a shooter never, ever thinking you could possibly be taking even a questionable shot. Yeah, I would love to have played with that kind of freedom, because the way I shot it, yes, there's no question I'd have a much larger home.
Man, I'll tell you what, Tim Legler in 95-96 – all right, and this was, I believe, this was your career high in attempts at 3.2 per game. 3.2 attempts per game. But he shot 52% from three. It's insane. Led the league. It's a record. It's unbelievable to think that. And now today, there are players taking three times that in a game.
Legs, if you would have came down on
the
fast break.
It's crazy, man. A lot of guys take a 10 a night. It's really absurd.
10, right.
Yeah, nuts.
Legs, if you'd have came down and took one on a fast break wide open and then you missed it, what was your coach? What would he have said to you? How quickly would he call timeout?
There's no question, man. Like, there's no doubt. Like, you knew where you were going to end up. You're going to go right on. You're going to shoot it, and then you're going to run right down to the end of the bench. They might even play 4 or 5 for a few seconds while they don't realize you sat down yet, because you just trying to beat the coach to the punch.
That's right. Yeah, Jimmy Lynam be calling your number right away. Come on, let's go. That's enough. All right,
man.
I'll let you shoot him, but I don't know about that green light. That's very green. But we're seeing it in the league right now. And one of those teams I did want to ask you about, you know, personally, near and dear to my heart, here in New York, are the Knicks. They are averaging, I believe now it's no longer 49 after the game last night against the Sixers. But the three-point shot for them, you know, has become now this weapon where they've made 70, right, in the first four games, which ties a record to start a season. When you know you got Tom Thibodeau and defense, which is what they're always going to have as a foundation, adding the three-point prowess, what is the potential for this Knicks team in your eyes?
Yeah, look, I think it's amazing to me to even think about a guy like Thibodeau and the way he approaches the game, and he knows that, you know, the defensive end of the floor has always been his mentality. He actually got criticized in Chicago for not having any sort of offensive innovation. He needed to bring guys in to help him even learn how to run an offense. And now you got record-setting three-pointers being made on a team he's coaching. It shows you how he's opened up his mind to it. This is the way the game looks now. And they went out and they addressed it in the offseason. You add Kemba Walker, you add Evan Fournier. Julius Randle has extended his range. RJ Barrett has extended his range. So now you have a number of guys, a number of weapons that can make the shot. But more importantly, I think, is the fact that on a given night, you don't need it to come from any certain place. That wasn't the case last year. And that's why ultimately they failed in the Atlanta series, because Julius Randle was pretty much their entire engine offensively, and he struggled, and they lost. They couldn't manufacture points. So what do you do in the offseason? You go out and you find guys that can not only score, they create offense with their movement, with you know, their vision, the way they see the floor in Walker and Fournier. So now on a given night, hey, maybe it is Kemba like it was last night when he got hot at 19. Or first game, you barely noticed he was on the floor, and they still win against Boston in a shootout. And that's the luxury that Tom Thibodeau has now. And that's got to feel good to him, because he doesn't have anxiety hoping that this one particular player plays well or you have no chance. That's not the case now. I love their balance. I love the electricity that's in that building right now. There's no place, as a fan watching on television, there is nothing like watching a game at Madison Square Garden when the Knicks are like this, because the energy is just, it pours right through television at you, and it just gets you so hyped. So they've got something really good going on. Now, ultimately, what are they in the East? It remains to be seen. I think they could be a top four team, but we got to see some of these other situations in Philly and Brooklyn work themselves out before I really can figure out where the Knicks are, because I know Milwaukee will be there. I think Miami will be there. So what happens with Philly and Brooklyn going forward, resolving their situations? Where does that leave the Knicks?
Well, talking about working things out, look like the Brody worked some things out yesterday without LeBron James on the court with the Lakers, as he had his Laker moment or his breakout game, 33 points after he was struggling at the beginning of the season. Now, can he duplicate these type of performances, or is it even needed for him to duplicate these type of performances when LeBron is there? Because he's going to have to figure out how to do it if they're going to get where they need to go.
So I made the analogy. I look at Russell Westbrook and the first three games, and I think to myself, I'm picturing this Usain Bolt in a mall on Black Friday, and you're trying to tell him to get from one end of the mall to the other, and he's just going, "Will you please get out of my damn way, man? I can't run. I can't move." That's what he looked like, bottled up. He was restless. He didn't know how to impact the game and stay true to himself and who he is as a player the first few games. And look, it's going to take a lot longer than you know, a handful of games. We might be talking about this midseason when LeBron plays and his effectiveness. But last night, this is what you get him for. LeBron James can sit and they're still going to win. That wasn't the case the last 3 years, and that's why they were 7 seed last year. Now they win games like that because you've got another engine in Russell Westbrook. So he was unleashed for a night. Ultimately, they've got to figure out how to stagger their minutes when they play together, and they've got to figure out how to close games when they're on the floor together. But at least for a night, he paid great dividends in a regular season to give LeBron rest and still win.
Yeah, he looked good with AD as well. Tim Legler joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. You said something interesting on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max about Steph Curry. I know it's early in the season, but we always do this in the NBA. We always start projecting what we think can happen, and Steph has looked fantastic. The Warriors are undefeated, and you believe they could be, he could be the MVP. Can the Warriors be a contender as well?
Yeah, because I think people sometimes think that roster is better than it is. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is a nice NBA player. He's not a star. Draymond Green is a star in what he does, but he certainly isn't a star offensively. And then you got guys like Jordan Poole and Damian Lee and Kevon Looney. I mean, and these are the guys that Curry's out there with, and they're 4-0. He's getting 30. He's also creating naked opportunities because of the amount of attention he commands and the way he gets guys to gravitate toward him defensively in the open floor and transition. And then guys walk into a wide open three. Otto Porter hit back-to-back threes last night, all created by Steph Curry and his ability to draw multiple defenders. So he's on that level again, like he was pre-Kevin Durant joining Golden State. That's what he looks like to me when I watch him. And if that team, with the roster they have right now, stays in the top four in the West, waiting on Klay Thompson and Wiseman and even Jonathan Kuminga, the rookie who they're high on, who hasn't played yet, eventually, you know, will be in the rotation. If they're in the top four until they get whole with these guys back and healthy, which could not, maybe that's February, and then they're going to stay there once those guys get back, for me, that spells MVP because of his impact on other guys on the floor. So that's why I said it. I was making, sort of said it tongue-in-cheek, book it right now. Go ahead. It's over. He's the MVP. I know, because I'm one of those guys who makes fun of making these predictions early in the year.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, what I'm seeing right now and the fact that they're flowing the way they are with role players playing this well because he empowers those guys to do it because they've got so much time and space because he's done all the work himself by occupying two and three guys at a time. If this continues, they're just going to get more and more confident as the season goes on. And then you add Klay Thompson to the mix. So for me, if the Warriors end up in the top four, I think Steph Curry is going to be the MVP of the league.
Yeah, the Klay Thompson angle this year, which we haven't had in the last 2 years, that angle changes everything because you get that big three back together and they know each other really well. Supporting cast just has to rise up to the occasion. But I agree with you. Steph Curry has been a show so far here at the start of the season. Legs, I know you got to run. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate
all right.
It.
Tim Legler on the Goodyear Hotline.
Game blouses.
Hey, like I said, this guy could shoot, by the way. Like I'm not – like 52% from three is pretty damn good in a league where you could still hand check. You could still – it's very physical still when he played then. And so he was putting up three a game, which doesn't sound like a lot now, but back then it was like, damn.
That was a new breed. Jacking threes. That was a new breed Pistons. The worst era of the Pistons' career. It's like – horrible time for me to be a basketball fan.
So you just weren't – you were checked out at that time.
The Lindsey Hunter, Allen Houston, Jerry Stackhouse, teal color Pistons. It wasn't a good time for me. You know what
no,
I mean?
Those jerseys, you should burn them with the fish sticks jerseys that the Islanders used to wear. It's Bart and Homer, brought to you by Goodyear. With you every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. So, again, you heard him say he thinks the Knicks could be a top four team in the East. There is still things to be sorted out with the Sixers. The point I was making off last night's game is one that I think I'll say one more time, and that is, as nice as the game was from a Knicks perspective, you're a Knicks fan, you loved it because the bench came in, broke the game open, and the Knicks were able to keep it pretty much double. It actually kept it, you know, no less than 16, I believe, for the rest of the game, had it as high as 27 points at one point. They bottled up Embiid. Nobody else could get anything done, and the Knicks pull out what was pretty much a blowout win at home, and now they're 3-1. It's a good story on their side of things, right? Bounce back from a bad performance against the Magic. When I'm watching the Sixers, I'm thinking to myself, do I have to reconsider where they are and what they can be in the East? Because I originally power ranked them above the Knicks. Mm-hmm. But without Ben Simmons and with no idea of what's going to happen with that whole situation going forward, what are the Sixers? I don't know if they're maybe at this point. Stan Van Gundy kept making a point. Man, Joel looks winded. He looks tired. He doesn't like, and is that his conditioning or is that he couldn't keep up with the pace of the game because of how hard the Knicks were playing him?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's early in the season, right? So that basketball condition to be elite and be in an elite status, and they need him to be in elite shape early in the season because they don't have a lot of options. So that's bad for him that he can't really work himself into shape and
he needs
build
a point
up on
guard.
His minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no Shake Milton, but he needs a point guard that he could play off of, that you can do pick and pop, pick and roll, and all that stuff.
Make the game easy for him.
They need that third piece because Tobias Harris is a really nice supporting guy who can get – the funny thing is, a supporting guy can get you 20 on a given night. He can give you 30 on a given night. I mean, Tobias is that good. But they can't play a two-man game because they both sort of like – Tobias is more of a wing, post, you know, kind of player.
They occupy the same space.
Yeah, it's pretty much. So you need that guard. And they don't have – you know, the young – you know, Tyrese Maxey's young. He's a talent, but he's better off the bench. They got to get a point guard. And the only trade that makes sense that will make the Sixers better, if you're going to trade Ben Simmons, is for Damian Lillard. That is a trade that changes, like they become a contender if you add Lillard to that team. I know that's a Captain Obvious statement, but Bart, the problem is that Damian Lillard doesn't want to be traded.
I mean,
at least that's what he keeps saying.
Well, we'll see how that works as Chauncey Billups calls his team, called that team out for their effort yesterday.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like they're going quite, you know, they lost to the Clippers, who was Chauncey's team that he was coaching last year. So, you know, he took it personal.
Greater
Cincinnati. He's the second time he's called them out for their effort. You shouldn't have to be talking to grown men that makes millions of dollars about effort. That's something that shouldn't have to be coached. You know, so we'll see how that story ends if they decide to move on from Dame. But I always say, man, probably the place that's always open for business is Sacramento. So, I mean, if I'm them, I'm looking at Sacramento. I'm going to try and beat that De'Aaron Fox, man.
Yeah, would they ever consider – because you've got – Davion Mitchell.
They're the same age.
I love Davion Mitchell. What a great pick. He's going to be a really good player for them, a guard. They have De'Aaron Fox, guard. They have Tyrese Halliburton, a guard. How many do you need?
Play small forward then.
No. I'm not saying that about – I think it would be interesting to have a guy like Simmons there.
He can play so many different positions.
If you're the Kings, why would you say no to a trade for Fox? Yeah. You've got these two other guys. They're younger. Their rookie contract's going to last long. You don't have to worry about giving them an extension. You just gave Fox a ton of money.
Yeah, you're going to get mad picks
now
back.
You add a guy because, you know, Mitchell's going to be a tough defensive player. I like him a lot. Halliburton's never going to be a great defensive player. He's going to be good, though, because he's smart. So he's always going to be in a good position. But physically, you're not going to see him be a real shutdown kind of guy.
Yeah.
But he's such a clever player, and he's really smart offensive player. If you added Simmons, another defensive tough player, Rashawn Holmes, you've got a squad. Like, you got a little something happening.
He can play center for you in a pinch.
Well,
play forward, power forward for you, small forward. He can be Scottie Pippen, point forward.
First thing that's got to happen is Ben Simmons has to be ready to play. And what he's telling the Sixers is he's not mentally ready to play.
Yeah, for them.
So he's got to go through all that.
They don't want to get his ass booed and yelled at. People saying things about his family and his mother. You know how they feel.
Yeah,
I do. They go Waka Flocka.
Oh, yeah. And they certainly do. But on the Knicks' perspective, so now they're 3-1. It really should be 4-0. They're mad about what happened after that Magic game. They all know they gave that one away, and they shouldn't have. And that's why they came out and played so hard against the Sixers. They were ready to respond. And for Tom Thibodeau, he was happy about how they bounced back after what was a very maddening loss on Sunday.
Yeah, and it was long before the ball went up tonight. I could tell, immediately after the game, we knew we didn't play well. We have a really good group of guys, and they're serious-minded, and so we were disappointed with the way we played, that we didn't close out that game the way we should have. I could tell that night, the next day, and then last night, the gym was packed with people working. So I knew and this was a good test for us. But it doesn't stop. And we can't feel good about tonight where, you go to Chicago and you're playing an undefeated team that's loaded, that's playing real well. So we're going to have to play our best.
And Tibbs goes back to Chicago with Derrick Rose, with Taj Gibson.
Noah Day.
And the Bulls on Thursday night will be celebrating Joakim Noah night, which, of course, having Tibbs there and Gibson and Rose – yeah, they were all part of a team that went to the conference finals about 10 years ago, but there is a little bit of petty there because the Knicks are actually still paying Joakim Noah because after that whole buyout, thank you, Phil Jackson. But this is probably, I don't know, like Knicks-Bulls used to be a must-watch thing all those years ago, and then it wasn't for a long time. Now, when Tibbs was there and the Knicks had Melo, there were a couple of really good games. I remember Easter Sunday, an amazing game, nationally televised game. Between the Knicks and the Bulls, a fantastic performance and a lot of fun in the building. But it's been a long time since a Knicks-Bulls game mattered. This one matters. The Bulls are 4-0, the Knicks are 3-1, and both teams are trying to prove to the East that you're going to have to contend with us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's get a couple of calls in here, Bart Scott. We do have people that want to talk other things, including football. Let's get to that right now. We'll stay in the Philadelphia area, but it won't be about the Sixers. It's about the Eagles, and that's Pablo. Pablo, how we doing?
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
Tell me.
I'm on. Sir Bart, talk me off the edge again. The Eagles, the head coach, please get the playbook to somebody else and let them call the plays. Because this, I understand this is a year that we're not going to win anything and we're not going in. But you have to see what we have. And he's not putting the players in the position to succeed.
Sirianni's got a very young – Sirianni's young. His staff, the coaching staff, is just youngest in the league. Like, there's a lot of inexperience there. But apparently, I mean, the players really like him, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the beginning of a process.
You're going to get a win. You got the Lions this week.
Jalen, man, they play hard. You never know, man.
Or maybe the Lions get their first win.
Yeah, you look at what they did to the Rams out there in the Golf Bowl, and it came down to the wire.
It did come down to a big hit by Aaron Donald, yeah, getting it done.
You talk about, listen, this team is still trying to learn how to use Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts probably doesn't even have – he probably on his, seventh, eighth start. So he doesn't have that experience for you to open up the playbook, and now he's learning a different playbook that he learned last year, new system, new head coach, and they're trying to do the best they can by protecting the kid, but it's just going to be tough sledding right now. That defense needs to step up, but I like the personnel that they have. I mean, I love Goddard. I love, Rieger. I love, Smith. You know what I mean? So I think you're okay, man. This is the rebuild year, man. You understand, you won a championship for the first time in your franchise.
This is your
history.
Payback.
This is sometimes.
Well,
what
you also had a quarterback drafted that was an MVP candidate that just didn't. Another guy, Ben Simmons, couldn't play in Philly anymore.
Yeah, now he looks like an MVP candidate again.
Does that happen with Ben Simmons when he's traded?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? All right, we'll keep the calls rolling. We got a lot of people who want to to talk to us, and we will get to you, of course. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want you to tune into ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Coming up, a vote of confidence for the Jets hierarchy. Was it necessary?
Really?
Yeah, we will discuss. But first, Bart has got to tell you about
ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter.
According to Forbes, gyms, stores, and more are set to go on an epic hiring spree to meet up pent-up demand for all these services. Businesses reopening means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do they turn to fill these roles fast? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We had Tim Legler on at the top of the hour. If you missed it, he said, quote, "I think they could be a top four team in the East." Who is they? The Knicks. That's what Legs believes. He does need to see, though, how the Nets and the Sixers figure their things out, because obviously between Kyrie Irving not playing for the Nets and Ben Simmons not playing for the Sixers, it does change a little bit about what he sees in those two teams. But he likes what he sees from the Knicks. If you missed that conversation or anything else, of course, you can get the podcast. Each hour podcasted, and you can get it anywhere you get your podcast. Just look for Bart and Hahn and then subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Bart and Hahn ESPN Radio, as I said, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you work so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So, Bart, so there's the owners' meetings going on right now in the NFL, or were going on in the NFL. Woody Johnson back now with the team, and he was asked about his team's 1-5 start, the brutal loss to the Patriots, and the fact that they have literally the worst first quarter offense ever. Just ever.
Ever, ever?
Yeah, ever, well, ever? Ever, because they haven't scored yet in the first quarter.
So you're saying there's a chance?
No, I say there's no chance. So, with that, Joe Douglas has been the one building this team. Robert Saleh is the latest of the, you know, again, carousel of coaches to have come through here. And yet, the one thing that remains consistent is the fact that they are a bad football team. So, what does Woody Johnson think of the hierarchy that he has in place? Here's what he said.
Okay. Shouldn't have to address this early, but speaking about getting the right players in the right position, how about putting Elijah Moore in the slot and putting Denzel Mims on the outside? How about that? Let's start there. But listen, what is he supposed to say? He's early in the process. Joe Douglas is entering his third year. Yeah, people want results, but you kind of get a mulligan for his first year. Next year, Joe Douglas will be on the hot seat to start seeing some productivity from the patience that
results.
Yeah.
That results, please.
Well, the patience from which the media and the football insiders has given him, because he's getting a bit of a pass because they're treating this like his second year and not his third year.
Well, it's only his second draft.
Right, right. So, and free agency and all that stuff. So, like, they're giving him a pass. They forget about the Khalil signing. They forget about the Kaliche Simile signing. They forget about some of those things because they understood that he was just trying to strike lightning in a bottle, and he took a swing, and it was a relatively safe swing because all those guys came off. Remember, Quincy Enunwa was still on the roster, $9 million. He had to figure out that. So, like, this is his second year. Third year, we're going to want results, especially when you have two first-round draft picks, and it looks like the Seattle one's going to be a good one, and yours, unfortunately, is going to be good because you aren't going to win a lot of games this year. But, you know, Saleh, young, green coach, figuring things out, right? And sometimes you make mistakes because you hire your friends and people that you can trust, but sometimes you don't hold them accountable and they don't hold you accountable. And sometimes you need somebody that's not in the family to be able to say, hey, man, challenge what you're saying, not just allowing things to go through. I don't know if that's the case right now, but, you know, the fact that their defense isn't looking as solid as we thought they would be, being that his expertise, you know, maybe, you know, we can give him one mulligan. You get 1 week because you didn't have C.J. Mosley. You don't have J.D. Davis, who got hurt in preseason, and you were down to your fifth, or matter of fact, your seventh linebacker when you talk about Sherwood, Nazruddin.
Carl Lawson.
Lawson. But I'm talking about just inside linebackers this week because that's where they got exploited at. So, you know, we're going to give you a mulligan, man, but it's time to start seeing that this team plays the right way. And playing the right way is like, is it too much to ask for us to get a field goal or something? In the first damn quarter? I mean, every team in the NFL, including the Jacksonville Jaguars, have been able to do that. That's what amazing. Say you?
Yeah, that's
the part. So low.
That's the part that's amazing, that as bad as Adam Gase was, at least at the first series of the game, you felt like they either scored or had a chance to score.
And he was doing it.
It was adjustments that he was terrible at.
What's the guy that came in? Not Trevor Simmons, but what's the other dude after he got hurt? Oh,
Luke Falk.
Oh, my.
Remember that?
Woo,
yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, it's just very hard to have any optimism. Now, let me add this part from a media perspective because of my years as a reporter. One thing I will say to you, that anybody that is going to phrase this as the vote of confidence thing, it's not really a vote of confidence.
Yeah.
Because what exactly do you expect an owner to say at this point? Now, you could have the George Steinbrenner type stuff where it's just like, hey, 1-5, this is not what we wanted. I know that John Mara has at times put that out there too about how we're in a results-based business and we're all on the hot seat. But for Woody Johnson, it's not like he went to the podium, gathered the media, and said, I have an announcement to make or I have something to say.
Right, address the State of the Union.
Exactly. State of the franchise where it's like, all right, I have something to say and I want you all to gather and listen to this. That's a vote of confidence. He was asked, what is he supposed to say? You know, like Jerry Jones had to do the same thing for Mike McCarthy a couple of weeks ago.
Time management.
When everybody was all over Mike McCarthy's case about, wow, he could hold this team back. He's making mistakes, you know, with the clock and other decisions on the sideline. And I remember, I forget who it was that said he might be the worst coach on his staff, which was a really funny line. Dan said that?
That's somebody.
I think it was Ryan Clark.
Okay, Ryan Clark.
So bottom line is that, and then Jerry Jones is asked and he says, you know, everything that he knows about Mike McCarthy. And that he likes him and he understands all that stuff and they feel really confident with him. That's not a vote of confidence. He was asked about it. So to say that Woody Johnson gave a vote of confidence to the coach and GM, not really accurate. All he did was answer a question. And what he said was that I know what they're doing behind the scenes and I believe in him. Well, you better believe in him. You're the guy that brought in Saleh. Your brother brought in Joe Douglas.
Yeah.
Your brother brought in Adam Gase, and that set the franchise back easily 5 years, even though he was only here for two. Easily set the franchise back for 5 years.
Biggest, like...
And now they're trying to recover from it.
Biggest joke, McAdoo or Gase?
Oh, they were pretty equal, although McAdoo at least coached them to a playoff.
Yeah, that's true.
At least they got to a playoff. Then the banana boat happened, and then they showed up in Green Bay and weren't ready to play. The only guy ready to play in Green Bay, no shock to anyone, Eli Manning. No one else was ready to play that
game. Eli.
So anyways, on the Jets thing, like I just want everybody to understand, when you hear these things about vote of confidence, just understand it's not always a vote of confidence. A lot of times it's, I was asked the question, what did you want me to say? Is this really, how many games left? 11 games left in the season, I'm going to say, you know, I'm not so sure about my coach.
Yeah.
I mean, you really want to, you have the youngest roster in the league, and you're going to put that, you're going to drop that grenade into the locker room?
I think I'm looking for everybody enemy. I'm trying to hire Kellen Moore next year.
You know, I think we're going to assess now the rest of the season. I mean, you really want to put that out there. So, you know, he has to believe in what they're doing. He has to trust in what they're doing. And what do you expect when you have a young, inexperienced coaching staff, at least at key positions like offensive coordinator, play caller, And also, when you have a young, inexperienced roster, what did you think was going to happen? If you're a fan, honestly, ask yourself that. Did you really think that having an inexperienced coaching staff and an inexperienced roster was going to result in wins? No. It was going to be very painful. It's a lesson learned now. And I think what Bart said is right. Robert Saleh's got to reconsider what he did with this staff. And is this really the group I want? Or are we going to have to go through growing pains together, and it's going to look really bad for a while, but once we figure it out, we'll hit our stride? That means you're learning on the job. And not many people get that opportunity at this high level.
In New York.
And in New
better
York.
Better yet. Nobody.
But you have an owner that's willing right now to have patience to let it happen. That's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, because he's still paying Gase, and he's probably still paying the coach that was before that.
Todd?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Todd Might just came off the books this year.
So that's where we are right now with them. But at least the Giants have a quarterback, so there's something good happening, and one of the NFL teams here in New York. But the NBA is exciting. The Nets have superstars, and the Knicks have a team that the whole city is falling in love with. They actually already have as many wins as the Jets and Giants combined. Yes, I said that. But how close are they to being on the same level as the NBA's elite? That is a question we ask you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we want to also remind you that we are giving money away. Bart's money.
What?
Yes. We're going to hook up a lucky listener with $2,000. Tonight's baseball championship game is what you need to listen to on ESPN Radio. And here's how you enter to win. It's really easy. You listen to the game on ESPN Radio. Wait till the top of the seventh when Dan, Eduardo, and Jessica, one of them will announce the winning word. When you hear that word, the password is, you text the word to 777-000, and you enter a chance to win $2,000 out of Bart's wallet. Keep listening to all our ESPN Radio broadcasts for the baseball championship because the prizes get bigger. In fact, the prize grows by $1,000 each game. So we all know we want a 7-game series because come game 7, how much money is that, Bart?
$2,000?
No.
$4,000?
It's $7,000. That's right.
You said it earlier in the hour. $7,000 of my dollars. Do I get a tax write-off?
Maybe. There's no purchase necessary. You can go to ESPNradio.com to get complete sweepstakes rules. One more time, listen to Game 2 tonight. Hear the winning word. Text it to 777-000 for your chance to win $2,000 right out of Bart Scott's wallet.
Am I eligible to compete?
No, it's your money.
What if I get it right?
It doesn't matter. It's your money. Okay. Message and data rates may apply. Your call's coming up next. Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.
On Alan on Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Bart, you know what? We've had a lot of fun with callers over the last couple of days. I'm loving this part of the show. It's a little bit of like a Paul Feinbaum kind of thing, which I feel in middays it's the way to go, right?
I mean, we
have our guests, we have our takes, but we love talking to the people during the day and hearing their passion.
And the good thing is, right, this part of the day is like a lot of times the lunch hour, or mm-hmm. break time, mm-hmm. where they can actually, you know, they're letting their hair down and trying to catch up on what's going on. Or if they're drivers, you know, whether it's from Uber or FedEx, Amazon, DHL, UPS, you know what I mean, post office, they're in their cars and they're listening to us. We're helping get them through their day. And they're calling in because they know that they can call in not only to the power hour, they can call in, they can hear Barstra Diamonds.
They
understand audio files. Mm-hmm. They understand all the things that's going to come because
they like the gong.
They're used to us here. You know, the gong show, they on Petty Wednesdays. They
Petty
understand.
Wednesdays,
listen,
yes.
This is a show ran for the people, by the people, we the people are here and listening, and we're always willing to take your calls because you guys control the show. You guys are the producers.
So let's go and talk to the people as we have been doing throughout the whole show. And we go now to Nevada, to Brandon. Hey, Brandon.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Man, so the Knicks and Bulls controversy, I know a lot of people you know, with the new acquisitions of the Bulls with DeRozan, mm-hmm. and Zach LaVine, and Caruso there in the front court. You guys think that they're as legit as people are saying? Or
they've got a really good five.
They're top heavy.
Yeah, they're starting five. You can't argue. Like, they're starting. Lonzo Ball.
Three all-stars.
He continues to grow. Vucevic is an all-star, and he's a terrific. So, and they got him during the trade deadline last year. LaVine's an all-star.
He should have got some MVP votes.
I mean,
what he did. But still, what he did, man. Did. He averaged like almost 30, man.
You got to be a playoff team before you do that. But I like their five. It's their depth that you wonder. And, you know, again, defensively as well, will they be a really good defensive team? I think Lonzo Ball is a really an underrated defender at the point guard position. I like him, man.
Defender, man.
I like him. And LaVine has the talent to be a good defender. You know, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game. I really am. It's been a while since Knicks-Bulls mattered, and this game is definitely going to matter. If you're the NBA, you got to love this because there's two franchises, two markets like this. They love their basketball, and it's lit up. Kevin's in New York. Kevin.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Just want to say, chiming in on the Knicks-Bulls thing, I'm following you up there, Alan. The depth, that's the difference. I feel like our Knicks bench, you got three point guards that could all basically start between Rose, Kemba, and Quick. And just the mix of young, old, and bringing that, you know, that Thibs mentality, and they're all buying in. And you see that when they're playing. The buy-in's there. Mm-hmm. You know, you got two of his long staples with Taj and D. Rose, mm-hmm. and I see endless potential, and I feel like the past 20 years, we might be able to erase some of that.
Yeah, it's a lot of years to erase. Now, again, when people say 20 years, and thanks, Kevin, you got to remember there was at least a three-year window where they were competitive. They were a playoff team. Amari showed up. Carmelo showed up. They were a playoff team. They had a lot of injuries throughout those. Jeremy Lin had a run, and that was exciting. And then, of course, that one year where they had the oldest team in the league, you had Jason Kidd with Melo, with Amari, with Tyson Chandler. Rasheed Wallace was on that team. Kurt Thomas, Marcus Camby. Like, it, you know, you had a crew. But that was short-lived. This feels like the beginning of something as it's building, and that's good. Depth, very important in today's league, and shooting a three, very important. They have all that. But are they elite? I don't know if you can be without a superstar. I don't know if you can. And that's the separation, but that's why there's a lot of season here to play. Now, Bart, before we go, though,
Pistons.
I wanted to throw this out there because now there's a thing with Knicks fans. It's really funny. Remember the movie Inside Out, Disney?
Yeah.
Well, now everything is bing bong.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.